Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 16, 2018. My thoughts on Twitter the 16th of May 2018. High above, Betia, daughter of Pharaoh and of the Creator, wraps everyone in a blanket of light. Zohar. Lecture 196. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the Creator's revelation by his paths, in all categories that are and will be revealed in the worlds, in all forms that can be revealed in the worlds, till the end of all generations. Baal HaSulam, the wisdom of Kabbalah and its essence. Everything was prepared in advance, and every soul already exists in all its light, goodness and eternity. Baal HaSulam, Letter 25. Every person has to attain the root of his soul. Baal HaSulam, the acting mind. One thought created all reality, upper and lower, all the way to the final correction. This one thought acts in everything, is the essence of all actions, determines the goal, and is the essence of all efforts, their whole perfection and expected reward. Baal HaSulam, Tess, the study of the Ten Sefirot, Part 1. The first spiritual act, annulment of self, egoism, one's I, is necessary so the Creator can perform anything on you with your consent, Mesirat Nefesh, in faith above reason, bestowal, Lishma. After that, self-annulment becomes more and more active. One who receives fulfillment from the Creator ascends in these fulfillments. One who merits to feel that the Hash Creator also delights with him, preparing him to receive the upper influences, is called a Hash Kabbalist. Baal HaSulam, Letter 46. Crossing to the common group screen is called crossing Muxam, the boundary with the upper world. We act together in our group aspiration, covered by a common intention, screen, blanket, from us to the Creator. This is crossing the Muxam. The peculiarity of Kabbalah is that it is able to connect opposing properties, opinions, desires, goals, people, parties, nations, into one. It is my hope that we will use our ambitious energy to enliven our connection and spread it to the world sooner rather than later, instead of waiting for turmoil and suffering to goad us from the other end of the spectrum. The more we can inspire relations of care, kindness and love to each other above our divisive inclinations, the more we will pave the path for a key attitude shift to sweep over humanity. While time is still tilted in our favor, we should concern ourselves with initiating our connection through positive incentives. The world is waiting for us to carry out our fateful mission, to infuse it with positive connection. However, such temporary connection has no lasting strength. That is, the moment the external threat goes away, we continue business as usual, and all our internal disputes again take center stage. Israel currently working against its divine mission. In periods when such tensions escalate to all-out war, the climax of fear momentarily connects us. We stop caring about our internal disputes and all focus on protecting ourselves from the external threat. Q. If my desires reach a higher order, to bestow and love, will I see spiritual phenomena? A. You'll even feel the system of forces managing our world and every person, you'll see the result of its influences and will interact with them to practically determine the future. The Creator gradually raises us, creating problems and revealing that only He can solve them. In this way He attaches us, egoism, to Him. There's nowhere to run, and that's great. It's wonderful to feel that all your development is in Him, in acquiring the quality of bestowal. The Creator will force Jews to think about the reason for others' hatred of them and what Kabbalah says about it. Israel ignores international law again and again. The UN will soon pass a resolution to revoke the State of Israel, with most countries' support. Kabbalah is simple, but it's difficult to master since you have to act against yourself, for the good of others and the Creator. Spiritual work is managing the world, desire, aiming it at the benefit of the group, Creator. This is the sole influence on the world, Creator. Governance is only through desire. The Germans wanted to be courteous hosts, but the guests ended up being the hosts, showing hosts the door. From Twitter, the 16th of May 2018. Let nature's positive force flow through us. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 15th of May 2018. The people of Israel act as a central junction in the human network. If we try to connect positively above our differences, we let nature's positive connective force flow through us into the entire human network. As a result, people start changing, albeit unconsciously. Connection would become more valued, and as a byproduct, the attitude toward the people of Israel would become more positive. On the other hand, failure to invest in enhancing human connection invites the negative force to further fuel humanity's subconscious, enabling the flames of hatred to rise higher and higher in our direction. In support of artificial intelligence. Question: how do Kabbalists feel about science and technology? Answer: Kabbalists view science and technology, and anything that progresses the world, favorably, so that people see as quickly as possible that it all gives us nothing. Question: in other words, are you in support of robots and artificial intelligence? Answer: yes, let everything around us be artificial, doctors, lawyers, etc. This is exactly what will help people understand where their true purpose lies, what they must actually be doing in this world. From the Kabbalah Lesson in Russian, January 7, 2018. Do not let intelligence surpass action. Question: it is written, his wisdom is greater than his strength. What does it mean? Answer: according to Kabbalah, it is very bad when intelligence, wisdom, surpasses action. Because first of all, I need to lower my head and receive higher knowledge. And when I adapt this knowledge to myself, I must then work with it within the group. During the process of working with it, it becomes clear to me what all these actions are for, and only then do I begin to use them as my own thoughts, my own methods. Question: we shall do and we shall hear also applies here? Answer: yes. First, the action must be carried out, because only this attracts the upper light, and within this light, we will begin to understand everything. From the Kabbalah Lesson in Russian, December 3, 2017. What determines the level of a soul? Question: regarding the development of a soul, is it a development of the desire to receive the light of the Creator? Answer: yes. The Creator only gives. We can only receive. Receiving for the sake of bestowal, we turn reception into giving. This is why a quality of reception with the intention to bestow is called a soul. Question: what determines the level of the soul? Answer: there are five spiritual worlds, Asiya, Yetzirah, Beria, Atzilut, and Adam Kadmon, after which comes a world of infinity. Each one has 25 levels of attainment in it, so there are 125 levels in total. They come from the integration of light and desire, therefore, we simply state this fact. The level of the soul is determined by the number, that is, the strength of my desire from to 125. The strength of the desire is determined by where I am. If I am able to bring the right intention to my desire, then the light of the Creator enters it, and all three components, the light that fills me, my intention, and my desire, will be called a soul. Question: what kinds of souls are there? For it says that there are still vegetative and animate levels. Answer: they are simply gradations that have no relevance for us. You should not think that there is an animal soul in an animal, a human soul in a person, and an inanimate soul in a rock. It means that each desire contains five components: still, vegetative, animate, speaking, and universal. Based on that, we say, his soul has settled into an animal or a plant. They are nothing other than levels of desire. Just as I have a desire to consume, let's say, 100 grams of one thing and a kilogram of another, such is the difference between the animate desire and the speaking one. These are simply token names having no connection with our world. Indeed, everything is accurately regulated, spelled out, and quantitatively divided according to levels of energies, strengths. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, the 14th of January 2018. New Life Number 979. How to Give and Receive.
Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. Today we'd like to learn from Dr. Lightman a few important things about good deeds, about giving, about new interactions between people on our way to a better life. Be with us, Yael, please. Yeah, we know that there's something very special built between a person who does the good deed and the person that good deed is done to. Once we help someone or give them a hand, first of all, it opens our heart. And the second thing is that there is a special relationship built there. And this is what we'd like to understand on this show. What happens in the relations between a person that does a good deed, the giver, and the person that is being helped, the receiver? What's created there? Connection between these two parts. Connection. What kind of connection? Special connection? Regular connection? Is there something special there? It's not special. It's not ordinary. It's connection. Connection where now they're already connected. Were we to see the inner system of nature, then there's already a connection between them. And through that connection, they can develop further connections between them. And this connection, even if each of them goes their way and they don't remember these things, still, the system exists. And our space is full of these threads of connections between us. Dr. Lightman, when I take something from someone, is there a connection created between us? Sure. So it's a different kind of connection when I give something to someone. Of course it's different. Either it's a negative or positive connection. Can you explain, elaborate a bit on that? Giving is positive. Receiving is negative. What's positive about it? What's positive about giving? Yeah? If I give, I provide the other with what he wants. Why is it good? What makes it a good connection? Because it ties us together. I give something of myself to him. It ties us together. Whereas if I receive, then the giver connects to me by giving, and I connect to him by receiving. Well, let's put it this way. These are unbalanced ties. Both kinds. The thing is that if we want to really reach a connection between us, we have to balance our relations, not in terms of receiving and giving, but in bestowing to each other. What's the difference? The difference is the intention. What is bestowal? Good, to benefit others. So, to simply give isn't enough? Maybe, by that, I mean some bad things, have a bad intention. Just giving doesn't mean anything. The question is, the thing is that everything follows the intention. What is my intention in giving or in receiving in the action itself that I do towards someone else? What kind of intentions might I have, for example? The intention to benefit myself or the intention to benefit someone else? That's all there is. So these intentions to benefit myself as opposed to benefit others, they build a different quality of connection between me and others?
Yeah.
This is what you meant by positive and negative connection?
Yeah.
So when I want to benefit someone else, there's a positive connection built between us?
Yes.
And when my intention is to benefit myself, there's a negative connection built between us?
Yeah.
So it's constantly, these ties are constantly made in interactions between people, even if we're not aware of it?
Yeah.
How do they influence my life later on? There was a certain interaction between us, and as if freeze the movie. Then I continue with life. By building positive relations between myself and others, or negative relations, does it later on influence my life in some way? Of course. How? In the same way that you built these connections. There was some kind of interaction between us. Positive interaction. We had a very good intention. Someone gave me something. But later on, each of us went their own way. We never see each other again. These ties, they remain in nature. They don't disappear. Where do they exist? In the entire general will to receive that we're parts of. Meaning? I have nothing to add. Where is that? In the realm, space between us. Even if the interaction ended?
Yeah.
So I have like a bank account where I accumulate positive and negative relations instead of money?
Yeah.
And you have an account, and so does she, and so on?
Yeah.
The intention you talked about, I want to talk about the quality of giving. You said that there's qualitative giving and non-qualitative or less qualitative giving. The moment that I give with the intention which isn't for the benefit of others. But besides that intention, are there other parameters that turn giving into qualitative giving, the effort that I make, and so on?
Of course.
But first and foremost, for whose benefit is it? How do you direct an action for the better? How do I examine whether my action is intended to do good or not? Does the desire of the other determine what you're doing, or does your desire determine what you're doing? Can you explain? I just did. Maybe if you can give an example. Does the desire of the other determine what I do, or what I want determines what I do? What do you mean? Suppose she wants a glass of water. So you give her a glass of water. That's good bestowal, because she wanted a glass of water.
Yeah,
so her desire determined my action.
Yeah,
but that's not all. Where are you taking this glass of water from? Maybe you're taking from yourself. Like the Torah tells us that if a friend needs a pillow, you'll give him your own pillow, even if you have just one, and so on. So the desire of the other determined my action.
Yeah.
Not your desire, meaning you're taking your abilities, connecting them to the desire of the other, and you provide for all of his desires. This means that you're bestowing to him. You said previously that it's worthwhile giving something of mine, meaning a higher degree is to give something of mine, or just to satisfy someone, to really listen to what he needs and to give him what he needs, what he wants, using my efforts to do it. Are you taking it from yourself? Or you're just allowing it to flow to him? I turn on the faucet and I give it to him. I have no problem to give it. But if we're in the desert and I have to give him my glass of water, that's something completely different.
True.
So is there a difference regarding what I give?
Of course.
What's good to give a person? First of all, what he wants. And then, meaning for his benefit, how do you measure whether it's for his benefit and not yours? It's according to the measure to which you need that same thing that exists in a limited way, and this how you measure. Is there a certain limit to giving? Yeah, giving your life. That is forbidden to give. Why? I can. Yeah? So is there a limit where you're saying stop? Beyond life. That's the limit.
So it's limitless. If you think that after life there's nothing, then it's limitless. I didn't understand. This is enough, I think. Okay, so let's talk about our simple life. To give everything to the other, according to his desires, without taking myself into account. God forbid I'm not telling you to do that. But you're asking, theoretically. So I'm telling you, is there such a thing as excessive giving that harms the other side? Then it's not called giving. Giving, it means that you work according to the desire of the other, and not according to your own desire. Like a mother that wants to stuff her baby beyond what they want. It's not called giving, it's called coercion. So there's no excessive giving if I follow the exact desire of the other. How much should I give? As much as the other wants. In medicine, there is this term, quantum status. As much as he can take, as much as he wants. Okay, up till now we were focused on the giver, on his intentions, calculations. Let's put him aside a moment, and let's go to the receiver. Let's talk about him a bit. Suppose you give me something, and you have really good intentions, pure intentions, you're a good person, and so on. I've received something from you. It doesn't matter what. Maybe you gave me a present, a smile, a device, something. Now, what happens to me? You filled your relationship bank account with positive relations. Great. What about me? I received. I have to care for you. You, the giver, have to care for me, the receiver. Yeah. What do you mean? I have to make sure that you won't be ashamed. And if you're really needy of what I give you, and you have no choice, and you receive it because you have no choice, then you receive it with sorrow. Me, yeah? It doesn't mean that I give you. If I want to give you, if I want to delight you, I have to make sure that you'll receive pleasure from it without negative feeling. So, what are you going to do? That's the work. So, can you give us a general direction? The work is that I have to be together with you in the same system, and that both of us are enjoying the same action, and not that you're enjoying more than I do, or I enjoy more than you do, but we have mutuality in this action. Okay, so we came back to the giver, where you told me about the work that you do and your intentions, so that whatever you give me will really delight me and so on. I want to go back to me, to the receiver. I'm now receiving. You gave me, I receive. I have to make you feel respect by receiving, so that you won't feel that you're receiving, but that you're doing me a favor, that you're taking from me. Not that you're receiving, but that you're giving me. What do you mean? That by that you give me pleasure. What pleasure does a child give his mother by opening his mouth, receiving what his mother wants to give him? Of course. But were he to do it with the intention, with what intention? That by that he wants to delight her. This is already a very big action. And were he to do it, not because he enjoys her giving, but he understands that he wants to receive from her in order to delight her, and therefore he's looking for what kind of deficiency does he have in order to receive from her and get pleasure. Just a second. I'm the receiver. You want to give me something. Up till now we talked about the intentions of the giver, now we're talking about the intentions of the receiver. In order to be in a mutual relationship with you and to really even enjoy what you're about to give me, I have to have the intention of delighting you by receiving what you want to give me. True? only you understand the kind of relationship that has to be between us, one of love. How is it possible that I give you and I'm delighted by your joy and you receive from me without any calculations, giving me pleasure by that, only by receiving, because the relationship between us is one of love and therefore there are no calculations. Love cancels all those calculations. Love covers for all crimes. Okay. One more thing I want to understand about this. You said that I, the receiver, have to think that I'm taking something from you because by that I want to do good to you. You had a desire to give me, and I receive from you because this is your desire, and I know that this will make you happy. Yeah. Now, what happens when it's not that way? What you just described is on a very high level, where a person can receive any good attitude from anyone else without thinking about himself, but thinking about that other person who wants to benefit him. Yeah. Suppose I'm not on that level. You want to give me from the bottom of your heart, and I'm not that deep. What happens in my bank account? You're ashamed. I'm ashamed. Up to the point where you start hating me because I cause you shame. As if don't give you pleasure, I really make you envious. I cause you to hate, to feel unpleasant, as if you belittle me. Okay, there's something called secret charity. And Rambam says that secret charity, on its highest level, has to be such that the giver doesn't know who is he giving to, and the receiver doesn't know who is he receiving from. What is this interaction of secret charity, and what does it have to do with this entire realm of mutuality that we talked about, because seemingly there is no mutuality there? This could be on condition that there is an upper force, such a concept, a higher degree, an upper degree, for the sake of which I work. Both give and also receive. And then really, it doesn't matter to me who to give to and who to receive from, because everyone's connected to that upper degree. Is it important for the giver to know who is he giving, who is he in interaction with? Of course it's important, depending on the level they're on. But if we're saying that the address that I give to or receive from is a higher degree, then it doesn't really matter who do I give to or receive from. Everyone is equally important. Okay, and if I'm the receiver, it cancels the feeling of shame and that I'm less if I receive this way. When we're connected to the upper force, to the higher degree? Of course. Yeah, and this mechanism you just described. Of course. Because we act in order to give contentment to a higher degree. To cause the development of abundance there. Again, how does it cancel shame? Because no one works according to their own desire. To be the address for the reception of the reward. But the receiver is the one above us. Meaning both the giver and also the receiver, they're as if givers. Yeah. They want to give contentment to the higher degree. Suppose like children toward their parents, toward their mother. So who do we want to give contentment to? Our mother. But suppose we're not brothers. Doesn't matter. If we want to give it to someone who's mutual for both of us, so that's what I'm asking. Who's mutual for both of us? We're strangers. The upper spiritual degree. Meaning what? I can't explain. It is the degree that gave birth to us, the spiritual degree that gave birth to you and me, and therefore, if we perform mutual actions of bestowal toward each other, then by that we give him contentment. So just to see if I get it. In order to give, I have to direct this good that I'm giving not only to the person that will receive that good, but to someone else, another address. Of course. What is that additional address? The additional address is the upper force that I have to imagine him how. As everyone's source. So what's the role, if you can summarize? What is correct giving? What is the role of the giver in this story? And what's the role of the receiver? Both of them have the same role. If they want to bestow through the upper force, it doesn't matter who receives and who gives. Doesn't matter. We're not talking about the action itself, who's giving and who's receiving, buying and selling. But who do they want to relate the result of their action to? The upper force. Therefore, he's the address. They're working for his sake. What does it mean, the result of their action? Who do they want to delight? Which is like the example of the mother and the children, that the children actually want to have good relations because they know that by that they make their mom glad. Right. Okay, in general we talked about giving. Now I want to be more specific. Is there a difference between the giving of material goods and my attitude? Previously I gave an example. She's thirsty, I give her a glass of water. She's hungry, I make dinner. These are material goods. Many times, giving is giving attention, which isn't exactly clothed in matter. It could be a smile, or you could give someone a look that might kill him or revive him. So, regarding the intentions and everything, is there a difference between giving material goods and the giving of a good attitude? For me, it's always about a good attitude. Meaning, matter means nothing. If we know how to correctly measure our relations, then the main thing is the good attitude. And matter plays no role. But on such levels where we can't measure our relations, the so-called intentions, then we measure what we give. I gave you $10, you have to give me back 5 or 10 and so on. Meaning our calculations are corporeal. If we could measure our calculations on the level of intentions, the intentions we have toward each other, there is spiritual substance, not corporeal, but we always measure. Can you give me some advice? We'd like to use your wisdom. Every year, on my wife's birthday, I want to do something that'll be a blast. And I never do it right. Ever. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's this or that kind of present. I don't even understand what does it depend on. Now, you talked about something else. Attitude. Give me a tip. Clothe in her. He's even writing it down. Sure, Dr. Lightman, we need you. Clothe in her. Okay, what does that mean? As if you're inside of her. The way she looks at what she has at home, at work, with the children. What does she need? This is one thing. Material things. Listen to what she wants from you in terms of your behavior. Your attitude. The way she wants you to treat the children. Meaning, regarding herself, regarding your behavior and regarding your behavior toward the children. Examine these things, the way she criticizes these things and that she dislikes this or that, and try and correct that. You don't have to wait for her birthday. Every day is a birthday. Thank you. Okay, now regarding the children. You said to clothe in their desires. I have a child that loves sweets. I know that it's bad for his health. If I clothe in his desire, then it's a box of chocolate this big every day. This is what he wants. Now the question is, what is correct giving in this place? Do I or don't I give him? Do I take his health into consideration? I give an example with my child, but it's also related to many other aspects in life. Suppose I clothed in his desire and I think that his desire isn't good for him. So what do I do? Do I do what he wants or do I do what I think is good for him? You have to do what's right. What's right? That's the question. According to his health? Not according to his desire. His desire, he's willing to destroy himself, obviously. Only according to his health. So, which of the laws that you told us about apply here? You treat him as a little animal that you take care of according to what you determine that's good or bad for him. And also not according to your desire, but according to the desire of professionals that understand the behavior of this animal. And suppose if my child isn't a little puppy, but he's a grown-up person that wants something that I know that eventually will hurt him. If you're sure that this is how it is, it's forbidden for you to give it to him. So in this case, I don't follow his desire, but what's the right thing to do for him? Of course. Another question. We talked a lot about intentions. There's this saying that goes, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. How does a person know that his intentions are really good? First of all, he has to rise above his ego, meaning that then he's not in hell. Can you explain? He has to restrict his desires, to make a restriction over his desires. That what he's about to do for him isn't good or bad, but he's really doing whatever he's doing according to the desire of the other. Meaning that he has no self-interest. Yeah. Dr. Lightman, can a person reach all these exalted degrees? He has to. What do you mean? Has to. Has no choice. That's how it is. It sounds so deep and pure. This is only the beginning. So I'm really asking, an ordinary person, can he reach such a degree of development? We'll all have to get there. Why? Because this is the correction of creation. We're all now beginning the correction. And we'll all have to be engaged in it and realize it. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.